So in addition to Parshat Tetzaveh this week, we have a even more halachically significant thing we are reading, and that is Parshat Zachor. Parshat Zachor. Now, why is Zachor so significant? Because it is
a mitzvah d'oraita.
Because it is seemingly a mitzvah d'oraita. Now, how do we get that notion? So this goes back all the way to the Midrashei Halacha, to the Tanaim, where the Gemara says, or the Midrash, the Sefrei says as follows. Zachor eit asher asa lecha Amalek baderech mitzitchem mi Mitzrayim. Remember what Amalek did to you on that journey after you left Mitzrayim. So the Midrash comments, Zachor eit asher asa lecha Amalek. Zachor, so there are different girsaot here. I'll read it both to you. One is Zachor bipeh, remember verbally or with your mouth. Ve'al tishkach b'lev, and don't forget in your heart. V'cheinu omar shimu amim yirgazun. Or another girsa is Zachor yachol b'lev. You might have thought in the heart. Shomer lo tishkach harei b'lev amur. They both basically mean the same thing, which is that is already accomplished when you say lo tishkach. Mani mekayim zachor. You can grab any of the chairs in there. It's open. Umani mekayim zachor. So what does zachor mean? Bepeh. Right, so the whichever version you have of the Sifrei argues that there is a prohibition, there is a mental prohibition of forgetting, right? Forgetting resides in the realm of the mind. But Zachor, as we have elsewhere in Halacha, is verbal. So where else, for example, do we have the notion that Zachor is specifically verbal? Okay, good, but
Shabbos?
Yeah, so good. We have by Mitzrayim, we tell the stories, which are, though even the what you're actually invoking is interesting, because most of the Zeichelitz and Mitzrayim are actions, right? Which are actions which commemorate it. But yeah, we do have certain things, obviously, where we do it b'peh. And by Shabbat, Chazal understand that Kiddush, Zachor Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, Chazal assume is b'peh, is verbal, right? And that, at least generally, is understood to be biblically, the Mefarshim divide on the extent to which the particular manifestations of Kiddush, right, whether which texts have to be said and whether or not it should be over wine, where the simple pshat is that the verbalization is biblical, but the notion to do over wine is rabbinic, though this is challenged by at least some of the Mefarshim in Nazir. But yeah, by Shabbat, we have this notion that Shabbat is meant to be commemorated verbally. Now, it's worth noting that not only that, but by Shabbat, there's also the parallel where you have a Zachor and a, so by Amalek, it's Al Tishkach, but by Shabbat, we have a second, which is Shamor Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, which is admittedly not focused in the mind, is focused in actions, but it is also passive, right? Meaning it's don't perform the Malacha, right? And don't forget, we do have the at least the duality of protecting Shabbat by avoiding things that would undermine Shabbat and a positive verbal commemoration, whereby Amalek, both of them are about sort of the conceptualization and the thinking about Amalek, but again, there's the prohibition of forgetting and then the proactive obligation to mention it. Now, the Ramban, what I want to focus on, though, is, okay, that's a brief, halachic background to it, but the Ramban has a very interesting comment. Because as I mentioned, by Kiddush, the assumption in general in halacha is, while the general idea of verbalizing it is biblical, how and where and when is rabbinic. Right? Hence, the... You might have heard this growing up, but the position of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger has a position that you create a problem on Friday night because who is chayev in Kiddush, midoraita, men and women, right? Equally, men and women equally. What's the problem? So in general, you're allowed to fulfill the obligation of someone who has an equal chayev to you. The problem is that most men go to shul on Friday night and daven Mariv. And in Mariv, they clearly fulfill their biblical obligation of Kiddush, unless you think that saying an Aliyah is biblical. But again, most Mefarshim assume not, because you say Mikadesha Shabbat.
Oh, I see. Oh, I see.
Right? And women, if they didn't daven Maariv, because let's say they pass like the Mishnah Berura, that women aren't chayiv in Maariv, which, again, I disagree with halachically, and I think the Aruch HaShulchan is right, they are chayiv in Maariv. That doesn't mean that's what Ara does, because, you know, whatever, we can have a machloket about this. But let's say someone very plausibly does hold the Mishnah Berura and women didn't say Kiddush, then what would happen? She would be biblically required, and the husband who would be making Kiddush would be only rabbinically required. So the Rabbi Kivayger comes up with a solution. He says, make sure that the woman at least says good Shabbos, because if you think that the general biblical obligation is to be Mekadesh the Yom, is to acknowledge the day, but the particular text is not, so maybe saying Shabbat Shalom, acknowledging the day, is at least sufficient at some level to fulfill the biblical obligation, bringing them both down to rabbinic, and that is his solution.
Is the problem that she has more of an obligation than him? Or
at that moment,
equal?
Right, meaning it's that at that moment she has more of an obligation. Not that it's not equal. No, you can fulfill the obligation of someone who has a lesser obligation than you.
Oh, so then why is the woman sinless?
Ah, that's a good question. But that's not the reality in most houses, and you know it. That is a complicated question. Meaning, the simple pshat is yes, the Mishnah Berura is opposed to it, which leads many people to be opposed to it. But the reality is that that's not usually what's happening. Right? That's just not what's happening. And therefore, it's a halachic issue you have to deal with. Again, there are other solutions to this halachic issue. I'm just pointing out the Rebbe Kivayger to make a point, right? Which is that the specific text doesn't matter. So, the text that we read is, as you know, which text do we read? Parshat Zachar. Which one?
When they're having the war, and then.
So no, actually, right? Right. Right, meaning you have the discussion here. You have the discussion b'shalach of the war, and you have the mitzvah in kiteitze of zachor et asher asa lachama. Right, to remember what Amalek did. That's the one that we read. But is that the only text that you could have used? So presumably not. Right, presumably that's not the only one. So the Ramban here says something very suggestive. And he says, after quoting the Midrash that I just quoted, he says, V'lo yadati mahi hazchira hazu bepeh. I don't know what this is. Im lo mayr shenikra parshat amalek b'tzibor. V'nim shil minim ha-Torah b'shni ha-Zachor. Right? So is it the reading of the psukim of Zachor, which is what we read? But then he has a second possibility. V'hye smach Limikra migila min haTorah. Perhaps this is a support for the notion that reading the Megillah is biblical. Now, what? Yes, but and then he has a third possibility. He says, maybe what it is don't forget what they did, and don't forget to, and then Zachor is tell our children what they did, and therefore why we are obligated to destroy them. But I think this is a relatively well-known Ramban, but I think that unpacking it is actually important. Because what does it tell you? If the Ramban thinks that Mikra Megillah is a potential fulfillment of the obligation of remembering Amalek, what does that mean he thinks remembering Amalek is about?
Purely remembering Amalek, no matter what way you go about it.
Does it ever say Amalek in Megillah? No, right? Meaning, that's actually a radical statement. Meaning, we assume the only hint that we have that Megillah has anything to do with Amalek is what? Is that because Haman Ha'agagi, and Agag is the name of the Amaleki king in the time of Shaul, so the Midrash assumes that Haman is a descendant of that Agag, and therefore the Megillah Esther is a manifestation of the eternal war between the Jewish people and Amalek. But it never says Amalek, never says the word Amalek. It's not clear that's what Agagi means. And yet the Ramban is willing to suggest that that is. Right? Which, that alone to me, right? It didn't hit me until this week. And that was why I was like, I really just need to mention this, is that the Ramban is shocking. Right? Meaning the general idea to say that it doesn't matter what text you say, that, as I said, is sort of standard fare for Zachor Mitzvot. So if he had said, listen, you could be Yotze in Kitete, you could be Yotze with Bishalach, you could be Yotze with a new text that you have where you talk about Amalek, and we can argue, are you Yotze only Lashon HaKodesh, are you Yotze in whatever language you understand? Any type of understanding, any discussion like that, I would have gotten it. Why? Because all of them would have been, remember the specific war
with Amalek.
And then we can argue about which text in the Torah are you supposed to mention. Maybe if he'd said you could be Yotze with the text of Shaul being told by Shmuel to destroy Amalek. I mean, fine, like it's an actual divine command to actually express the chiyuv to destroy Amalek. Like I would have gotten that. Right? All of that I could have explained. I mean, each of them would be a little bit mechudash, but I could have understood it. But the Ramban seems to be hinting at a completely different conception, which is that Zachor et asher asah lecha Amalek requires verbalization, but of a very... Look, either he is like super convinced by the Midrash, but even if he is...
It doesn't mention Amalek,
right? According to him, it seems like the mitzvah is about, and this is hinted at in his next line, is don't forget what they did, and therefore tell the children why we have to destroy them, meaning... It's verbalizing basically the ethos of the message, which is there were these people who destroyed us and we have to destroy them. We have to react. We have to whatever. And to that end, it doesn't really matter if you talk too directly about Amalek. Right? He's raising a very interesting conceptual possibility. The actual mitzvah of Zechir and Amalek is much more about telling the story of Jewish history in a way that would lead people to understand why we have to root out Amalek, and the actual details and how much you actually have to talk about the original battle, right? What he's mechadish is not even really about the original battle. It's like you need to convey the message of the Amaleki character throughout history, and apparently for him that is sufficient, right? Or at least, well, I don't know, sufficient, right? When he says, smach l'mikra Megillah, does that mean he thinks it's sufficient? Or does he think that the mitzvah is more expansive than only remembering the original historical and also has to incorporate the future manifestations of that ideology? But one way or the other, the fact that the Ramban so sort of, right, off the cuff just says, yeah, and this is the smach l'mikra Megillah is biblical when it doesn't mention Amalek, and to the extent that it doesn't hint at it, but it doesn't tell the story of the war. Right? Even if you buy that Haman is definitely the descendant of Amalek, it still doesn't tell you about what they did then. It shows that Ramban thinks the mitzvah is either primarily or at least also about conveying the broader perspective of Amalek through history. And that, I think, is a very important thing to think about, because the Ramban, he doesn't spell this out. He just sort of hints it in a way that when you try to unpack that one little line, you actually open up a tremendous conceptual Pandora's box. And you have to wonder what else is incorporated, right? And again, right, I assume that he took the Midrash very seriously when it said that Haman is Amalek, but that doesn't solve the problems because it still doesn't talk about the story, right? And it still never mentions the fact that he's Amalek, and it still never says that this is about him being Amalek. It just happens to be an expression of that personality, and nevertheless, that's enough. Okay, so those are some things to think about.